This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We've got Jonathan Goss in the building. He's the CEO and founder of Nomad Financial. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Awesome to be here.
So tell us about your company, brother. What do you do?
Yeah, so Nomad Financial provides financial services to high-growth, early to mid-stage businesses. So we have CFO, consulting, accounting, bookkeeping, taxes, and investment banking.
Okay.
We work with companies that are really focused on growth.
So give me an exact example, maybe like a recent client that you had, the issue that they have, why they chose to hire you, what have you done for them?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. So we typically see two types of clients. The first type, which is I think the motivation for why we launched the business, are companies who have no financial operations to speak of. So they focus on a product, they've launched, they might be generating revenue, but there's nothing kind of managing their accounting. There's no really keeping track of how they're performing.
So they don't really have a lot of cash flow management or systems in place?
Exactly.
Okay.
And so they will hire us to kind of come in and establish that. So on the accounting side, it could be building up the actual accounting system and then running their books. From the CFO side, it could be strategic. It could be building financial models and then using those models to make decisions about how the business is going to go moving forward.
Okay, awesome. And you got into this space. Why and how?
Yeah, so I was running finance at Vimeo. I was the first head of finance there, and we went from this business where one out of 100 people knew what we did, and I had to go on these long explanatory tangents about how we're different from YouTube to everybody knew who we were, right?
But I think that's a great skill set that you probably developed from doing that so many times.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And you have to be patient, right? And you know, people would ask really interesting questions, and. Yeah.
Nobody likes being patient, though.
Nobody likes being patient. And I'm a fast talker, and I start mumbling, and so you get better at it.
So you're a normal person.
I'm a normal person, exactly. and with Vimeo, I mean, it was a tremendous experience, right? We went from, when I joined, less than 10 million unique users a month visiting the site, to over 200 million, and more people experiencing the player embedded on websites.
So, I mean, per month?
Per month. I mean, you're talking massive, massive numbers. The team went from 15 people to... well over 100. And I think, I mean, since I've left, they've, you know, more than doubled in size again. And so it was a great experience to go through, but my passion was building and being part of that early process. And so I decided to leave and start re-engaging with founders. And I'd meet these amazing founders who are building really cool products. For instance, the two founders had founded Capital New York, which is now Politico New York. So this digital newspaper that was providing really high quality news, but trying to figure out what's their business model? How does this work? And what is, you know, what can we do to supplement the editorial side of the business we're focused on? And they had, what you find is there are a lot of challenges in hiring the appropriate people to do this, right?
That's always the challenge.
It's always
I feel like
challenge.
People are always like, the challenge is finding them. Even if you can find them, then how do you keep them?
Exactly. And yeah. So we kept seeing that same pain point. So my partner, Mark, and I'd known him for years. We sat down and he was thinking about the same space. So Mark had founded a business. And sandwiched around that was being a VC at a couple different firms. And so, you know, myself as an operator, himself as a founder and an investor, we saw these same pain points over and over and over again. We said, there's got to be a better way to do this. And not only if you look at the founders, then you look at the people who wanted to work with these companies who, you know, they might be really amazing technicians and they might be good at client service, but they don't sell themselves, right? So how do you connect those two sides? And we said, there's got to be a better way to do this. So we initially launched with the CFO piece of the business to solve the strategic oversight, that kind of first body through the door problem. Since then, we layered on more services as our clients came to them when we weren't really happy with the solutions in the market. We weren't going to recommend a company that we didn't believe in. And so sometimes you say, okay, well, if that's how it is, we'll just do it ourselves.
Yeah. Well, I want to know, going back, and I appreciate you for the, you know, clarity and context on that. But I want to go back to the beginning of your story, because I love finding out and sort of bridging the gap, like, when you were young growing up, or at what stage did you kind of go, being an employee is not going to work.
Yeah.
Being an entrepreneur is what I think I need to be doing. And then you shifted gears, you cut the cord from being an employee to ultimately starting your own business. And that led you to being your own business rock stars. What was that like?
Yeah. So if you go really far back, it's appropriate being in Burbank, because when I was a child, like, you know, everybody's heroes are random different things. Michael Eisner was my hero, right? He ran Disney. It's this amazing platform, right? You have ESPN and cartoons and everything. And so I'm like a 10-year-old kid who loves Michael Eisner. But I think as you know, very quickly in my career, so I graduated from Washington, St. Louis, and I joined Bain & Company's consultant. And there's a period in there very quickly where I said, this isn't really for me. This isn't a fit for what I want to do. And I was lucky enough to have a friend who made the jump. So he left his own consulting firm and started a company. And I said, you know what? That's what I've been feeling. Like somewhere inside, you read about these things, you focus on them, you learn about them. Those are the experiences I want. And so I left Bain and moved to New York and joined a startup. And the funny part was 6 months in, we shut down. It didn't work out. I worked with these amazing founders, though. They had founded Virgin Mobile before. We were trying to launch a new mobile virtual network operator.
So some small guys.
Yeah, exactly. The guy actually hired me from the finance team, quit 2 weeks after I joined. So suddenly I had a lot more responsibility. I loved it. It was amazing. And so despite the fact that my friends pulled the I told you so when it didn't work out, I knew that I was hooked, and that was the space, and that was what I was going to do for the rest of my life. Okay. And that's what I've been doing the last 10 years.
I want to talk about a moment where you felt in your business or in your personal life like it was over, like giving up. And I feel like inevitably in the entrepreneurial journey, sometimes early, sometimes later, we're all going to hit that moment.
Yeah.
Where we feel like giving up. We feel like, I don't know if that means giving up on life. I don't know if that means closing down the shop and firing everybody because you just can't do it anymore. You're in debt. Or if that just means something happened in your personal life. But I want to hear from you. What was one of those stories or seasons?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point. And in reality, the entire journey is adversity, right? It's it's the grind, it's the challenges, it's coming up on that. And I think when people talk about a company, more than anything, it's about people, right? It's human capital, and we're a services business. It's all human capital, and there have been definitely moments where you sit back and you're like, we're not hiring the right people, or I can't find the right people, and how can I get this company the way it is to the bigger vision of what we want to do and what wakes us up every day and follows the culture we're building. And there are days where you're like, how do we do this? Mm. And for me, I found the easiest path is to rely on other people. I think our natural reaction is always to hide the truth and be inauthentic and not be candid. And in reality, let's all admit to our faults. I make mistakes all the time.
That's the new trend now, is being transparent and authentic.
Absolutely. I mean, there's always within a business, you have to decide there's still a line.
There's
a fine line around transparency, but being authentic, right? Mm-hmm. So when people on the team make mistakes, on the letting them know, I make mistakes too. It's not about that we've made the mistake. Are we learning from it? If we keep making the same mistake, that's a problem. And even when stuff comes up in your personal life, I'm probably been way too transparent around some members of my team, right? Where, you break up with your girlfriend and things aren't going great and they can all laugh about it. And if they're here, they make jokes. But even that's important because some work environments, they want to act like the personal and the business are two separate things and they don't bleed into each other.
Especially nowadays, that the line has gotten so much further with social media and access to people via phones. They didn't have that back in the day. So there really could be like, when I leave the office, I actually leave the office. Nowadays, we bring everything with us because of technology.
Absolutely. And so if somebody on my team is going through personal issues, somebody could be sick, a family member could be in trouble, it could be relationship oriented. How are they supposed to show up to work after having that all on top of their mind and forget about it? And the reality is, if you're in a senior position on your team and you seem heavy and you seem worried and there's stuff going on, your team's not going to assume it's about your personal stuff. They're going to be worried it's about the business. And that's actually a worst case scenario, because then they're getting nervous. What's going on?
Yeah.
The whispers begin. And nobody wants to be in a work environment.
And then
like
one
that.
Person tells somebody, and all of a sudden, by the time it gets to the fifth person, now it's rumors. It's not even true.
Exactly. And so how do you take that back? It's easier just to be, hey guys, I know I don't seem like myself today. Just got some stuff going on. Just don't want to worry anybody. Yeah. And
doesn't have to do with the business, it has to do with my personal life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, I think the reason we've come to this place around authenticity is because we need it, right? The old system didn't work for people. And to your point, there is that bleeding. So where does it stop, or where does the line end? I'd rather not worry about that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a fantastic and phenomenal tip for the people just in general that are in business and life. But also, I want to get clear on that being one. I just want two more things that you think all beginning entrepreneurs need to know. I think being transparent and authentic with your team and with people in your life is super important.
Yeah.
Give us two more things that you feel like beginning stage entrepreneurs need to know.
Yeah, I think one, you need to have a clear vision. It's going to change, but you need to know where you want to go with the business, especially early on. You're selling people on a vision. You're not selling them on this.
So short-term and long-term.
and long term, right? Okay. People, I think when you join forces early on, mm-hmm. right, there needs to be alignment on two areas. One is culture, which is incredibly important, you know, and the second piece is vision. And if one of those is missing at some point, it's going to get nasty, mm. right? If you're pulling one way and everybody else is pulling the other, right, it's, you know, that's not going to work. And that doesn't mention the cultural piece where if people inherently aren't similar, you know, in the deep down ways, not the, do we dress the same? Do we like the same sports? Yeah, stuff yeah. like that. I mean, the real
values. Meaningful
values.
Yeah.
If that's not aligned, then that's also going to become a terrible mess.
Yeah, fantastic advice. We'll be right back with Jonathan Goss to talk more about his company. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we connect a community of entrepreneurs. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
When's the last time you checked your credit score? Those three-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free. No credit card needed. Visit creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now.
President Trump's new tax law cut your taxes by $5 trillion. Now you can reduce your taxes to zero. The best-selling guide, The Trump Tax Cut by Eva Rosenberg, shows you how, with tax deductions, loopholes, and money-saving secrets. One loophole gives a 20% cut in your tax rate. Newsmax says get The Trump Tax Cut. In bookstores or see the free offer and save almost $25. Go online now to TrumpTaxCut.com. That's TrumpTaxCut.com or call 800-NEWSMAX.
You shouldn't have to choose a...
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Jonathan Goss is joining us. He's the CEO and founder of Nomad Financial. Recap first, your company?
Yeah, we provide financial services to high-growth, early to mid-stage businesses.
Okay, and we were talking about some cool stuff off camera here that I want to touch on now, and that is the tough thing for beginning entrepreneurs or any really new business to start bringing in those first few clients. Because once you get those first few clients, when you start to go out, you can go, well, here's case studies, here's references, here's testimonies of people we've produced results for like you. Makes it a lot easier. This tough thing is, which I'm asking you, is getting those first few clients, how do you do it? What was your journey like? You have an awesome process of evolution.
Yeah, to really take a step back, mm-hmm. I was consulting on my own for a bit. To get those first few clients to the door, I relied on my network. It was a grind, right? Your early sales are a grind, and that's what they're supposed to be. And I looked for people to understand the pain points I could solve. I relied on my friends, and they connected me with people who they knew felt those pain points. And eventually you close your first couple of clients. I think the journey that you look to go through, particularly in a services business, is, okay, I've been selling myself, which is an easy sell, right? Let me sell Nomad, which is the harder one, because again, it doesn't have a story at all. And so let me work through that and use myself to kind of sell Nomad and then do the work myself. The second stage is actually I sold Nomad and other people executing the work. So now we're starting to feel real. And then the third stage where I was like, okay, we've achieved this. There's something here is hiring somebody else to do the sales,
okay.
right? And get them to understand what it is we're selling and then having another person separate from them execute the work. Okay. And so suddenly I've kind of removed myself from the process, but we've gone stage by stage and your hit rate goes up over time. As you get clients, you get referrals, you get more, you know, referrals, you build your name for yourself. It's a snowball rolling downhill, assuming you do good work.
Assuming you did good work.
Yeah.
And what I love is that we've probably heard this saying before. It's like, you can't always work in the business. You have to work on it.
Yes.
And so the evolution is, when you're in your business, it's usually just you in the beginning.
Absolutely.
And so you've got to be in it and working on it. There's usually, there are the excuses, no time to work on it. And you don't even know what to do to work on it. So you're always working in it.
Yeah.
And so your evolutionary process there, and I think it's perfect because it's what happened to me. And it's ultimately what people need to do if they're getting started, is learn how to eventually build systems and a team around them so they can focus almost all their time working on it and looking down at what they've created and the systems and the team and managing it and making sure everyone's working together to the vision.
Absolutely.
For the income and the impact and the influence goals for the company.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I love that. It's building the team and the systems around you so you can remove yourself for it. But how do we do that?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Systems and hiring, I think, should be something you focus on
yeah.
in the beginning. knowing that that's the inevitable progression. So it's how can you start to work in the beginning stages to prepare for that?
Yeah, on the first part of the systems, the key is you're not going to do a perfect job, right? You're not trying to create systems for when you're 100 people.
Yeah. So wait, you're telling me, so all the people out there that are like, well, I don't want to get started yet because it's not going to be perfect.
Yeah.
All right. And everyone always says that, right? Well, I don't want to start yet. It's not the right time, or it's not the perfect timing.
The other question you then pose is, when is it perfect?
Exactly.
It never is perfect.
It's never perfect.
Whether you have a family or other responsibilities, you know, if you're going to put the grind, you're going to do it, then you're going to do it. Yeah. And, you know, but again, you're not building, Facebook overnight. You're trying to create the first version of whether you're going to take to market or your back office system so that you can operate as a business. Mm-hmm. And you're going to improve it. And not only you, as you build your team, those creative, intelligent, amazingly talented people you bring on, they're going to take what you did and improve it.
Yeah.
They're supposed to. And you're going to hand it off to them because they're going to make it better.
Yeah.
And that's why you bring them on. Talking more from a personal experience, I'm not a heavy ops person. Mm-hmm. So I got us to a certain place, but it became quite obvious when I was outside of my realm of capabilities. Yeah. So the COO that we hired, her name's Lauren Kaplan. She's a freaking superstar. And she's just coming in and building on top of what was there and building it now to scale. So now we're 40 people. How do we get to 100? That's what she's building. But if I brought her in when we were two people, she'd be bored out of her mind and not want to do anything because she couldn't do what she's good at.
Yeah, okay. So how do you find the right people for those key hiring decisions? I think that in the beginning, every individual is super important. Now, somebody who sat in your chair recently was Tillman Fertitta, the billionaire, with 60,000 employees. And I think he'd agree that at some degree, when you have 60,000 employees, not every hire is like crucial to the company. But I'd say in your first 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 people, those are all crucial hiring decisions because it's all people that literally have a huge impact to the organization, especially when you hire your first C-level executive. For you, you said COO being one of them. How do you know where to find these people? How do you know if they're the right person to hire? Because usually you're allocating a six-figure investment to somebody of that caliber and skill.
Early on, and your goal is to avoid the bad hire, and you're looking for both that technical fit and the cultural fit I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And so early on, I spent so much time with folks. I mean, we sat down 3, 4, 5 times, just me personally, outlining my vision, and a part of that vision was the culture of the business and making sure they had alignment on those. Eventually, your time compresses, and you're spending from multiple hours with people, and you're going from 2 or 3 people to 10. It's you get a half hour, an hour. With those people, I actually created documentation. So I created a culture code that they could look at and say, this is a culture piece. And I'm going to tell you why it's important. But if you don't do your homework on this, I'm not going to hire you anyways.
Yeah.
If you show up and you're like, I've never seen this document that's clearly posted on your website, I can't really hire you because you haven't done your homework.
Yeah.
And then we can focus on your technical skill set. That side, we had to really build that system. So we hire accountants for our team. We made mistakes early on. Right? We hired out of desperation, which is honestly the worst thing you'd ever do.
Okay.
We really, really, really need somebody.
Yeah.
Those bad hires will cost you at least $25,000. Tony Shea,
minimum, right?
Minimum. He talks about it. I can tell you the numbers are real between unbillable time or, refunds to clients and the salary you pay them. It's
so
a mess.
So many other factors. Yeah.
It's a mess. Not to mention they kill morale. Mm. So suddenly, that you're trying to avoid that at all costs. Okay. What are the things we can do to be really thoughtful about who we bring on? And so on the technical side, we started giving them exams, right? So before you get into a deep interview process, you're going to do an accounting exam that includes both the technical proficiencies of accounting along with the high client service needs that our clients require. Let's test on that as well. So that by the time you come through the door, we already know you have those things in place. Now we can talk about everything else that matters.
Last question as we come to a wrap. And the question is, and you can pick which one you want to do, either best piece of business or personal life advice you've ever got, or a powerful, empowering, motivational quote or saying that you live by. Which one do you want to do?
I'll do the best piece of advice that I've been working on that has really given me balance, right? It's your goal when you're an entrepreneur, you're the person holding the flag at the front of your troops is emotional balance, is true leadership, a consistent voice, a caring voice. You can't do it if you're in an emotional place. You can't do it if you don't have your own balance. And it's really easy to go home every day and put on like, I'm putting in 18 hours. I'm crushing. It's like work, 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 work. It's like the song. just different meanings.
Yeah.
And in reality, you need balance. You need to go to the gym. You need to do yoga. You need meditation. You need these pieces to remove yourself every day from the grind. And so what I've started doing is I don't keep my cell phone in my bedroom. It's there's no electronics outside of Alexa. She's like part of my relationship there. right. Outside of that, which I use as my alarm clock, everything else is not allowed in my bedroom. I can go when I go read, right? I can be thoughtful. I can be mindful. I wake up in the morning and I'm not being reactive to things around me.
Yeah.
And so you wake up every day. And so when you get to the point where you're now focused on this amazing thing I'm building, you're 100% into it. You're driving it forward. And it's based on your agenda, not the agenda of everything else going on around you.
That's fantastic. I think that's some amazing advice for people out there who maybe think, yeah, well, it's common sense, but common sense isn't always common practice. So I appreciate you for bringing that up. Where can people learn more about you and follow if they want to reach out?
Yeah, they could go to nomadfinancial.com and reach out there. They can. I'm always accessible.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, and we connect a community of entrepreneurs. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Rock stars.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Cynthia Johnson's in the house joining us right now. She's the CEO and co-founder of IP City Media. Recap first what your company does.
Thank you. We are a personal brand development and management company, and we accelerate thought leadership for individuals that have causes, companies, or purposes that we believe in.
I love it. And you were just telling me before the camera started rolling, you're looking for somebody new to be on the team. Tell us. Give us a shout out. Maybe somebody out there would be the right
fit. There's a second project that I can't dive too much into right now, but it's a software product. So it'll be in the B2B SaaS space, and we're looking for a tech co-founder.
Nice.
And that is, if you know anybody,
co-founder.
Yeah, and it's, you know, someone,
Cynthia's looking.
I love everything. I like to do things through referrals, because I mean, people know people they've worked with, and it would take so long to vet
a quality referral.
So if anyone knows a tech co-founder or is
Cynthia,
a tech co-founder,
find her on social media. Let's talk about that though. You're strict not only in who you want to look to hire, but you're strict in who you work with.
Right. Exactly.
And I love that because for months, I made the mistake starting out when I was doing coaching and consulting of, hey, they got checks with commas on them, credit cards with commas being deposited on my authorized.net account. You can be a client. And it was like, I can work with you. Yeah. We can make it happen. I can get you the results. And then I found out there's a specific ideal client profile, customer avatar, target audience, there's all these different names people call them, that I should be working with.
Right.
That I have the perfect diagnostic filtration process that says, if you're this person, you have to go through this process to confirm, and if you are, and these are the results that you want and the problems you have, you're the perfect person for us to work with, and inevitably we can get you the results. I wasn't doing it that way. You guys are.
Yes.
excuse me. I learned how to restructure my business with really, really strict qualification processes.
Yeah.
Tell us what yours looks like.
So we are coming from an agency background. You've gone through the horrors of when it's not a fit, by not a fit is that you want to work with someone, especially when you're working, this is not an inexpensive thing. We don't work with everybody. It is accelerated thought leadership. So to accelerate someone's thought leadership and they're maybe not the best person to be there is difficult. So we actually do an entire audit. There are certain criteria that need to be met. We aren't going to build your story. Like, you have to come with the story. Mm-hmm. We want to, craft and tell the success of someone who has good intentions. You have to be tied to some sort of nonprofit or cause. And you have to be willing to work with us. And so that is, it's really about the relationship. Obviously, there's a few other things, you know, don't lie. The moment we find out that something you said isn't true, you know, it sets us back. So we go through the checks and balances, making sure that, you know, we know the person that referred you. We are primarily referral-based. That your story checks out, that you have a bigger cause, and that you're going to treat us like a team member and not as... an employee, because again, I'm a terrible employee. So
yeah, just because
you
want to
be on my
we're a partner. I love that.
Right, exactly.
Those are some great little like checks and balances to make sure you guys have in place there for qualifying. You know, in addition, as I'm sure you do as well, you just didn't mention long, lengthy diagnostic forms that give us all the information we need. I love it.
Right.
So let's talk about what your first year of business was like.
So basically, I mean, it was a little bit different for us.
You just came out the gate swinging?
No, but we went in with the mindset of, you know, we have other goals. We have other aspirations and other projects as well. And this was to meet and work with really amazing people. And so what we did is started putting ourselves out there, attending lots of events. And just by, again, through these networking, through going and speaking on panels and telling people what we did and being extremely transparent was helpful. And so we ended up working with a couple different VCs who then refer their clients. So our relationship is with them. We trust the people that they're willing to invest in, and we can bring them on that way. And, you know, also you have someone on your team, and that's great. So we wanted to build it that way. The struggle, I think, was that people, and this is where we move sort of the VC or working with their partners, is that investing in yourself isn't something people think right away. The cost isn't exactly inherent. They don't, you know, so...
Meaning they didn't realize
if they don't
invest in themselves,
when they do it.
So it's both. It's like return
on
investment and then cost of inaction. If I don't invest in myself, will I wake up wishing and regretting in 3 to 5 years I had?
Right. And so explaining some of the cost.
I don't even like the word cost.
Yeah.
I reframe it and use the word investment. Somebody goes, how much is this going to cost me? I go, whoa, there's no cost here at all. And they're like, oh, what? And I go, the investment. It's $250,000, but there's no cost.
Exactly, and we also invest in relationships, and everything's, I'm always open for discussion. I think that there's
always open to explore.
Right, there's a lot of different ways you can win in a relationship. There's a lot of different ways you can help each other, and if this particular way isn't a fit, and at the first, people weren't willing to have that conversation. So reaching out and saying, look, like, I know who you are. I mean, these are great people doing amazing things. Yeah. Maybe this isn't the right way to work together, but let's work together this way. And then referral clients came that way. So it took persistence and sort of pivoting on our part to make that happen.
CEO and co-founder of Ip City Media, Cynthia Johnson's joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I want to talk about aha moments for a second. I've come to a realization that if you could just collect and be a collector of people's aha moments, like Oprah and Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and Richard Branson and Elon Musk and Steve Jobs. Like, if I could just hear their biggest aha moments in life and business, I think that'd be a pretty dang good collection.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So I would like to know what an aha moment has been for you as an entrepreneur and business owner.
So I've done some traveling, and I worked for a company, and so they moved me to a new project. I was like, all right, I'm going to move this project, I'm going to save this money, and I'm going to go and travel. Yeah. And then I remember I actually enjoyed the job. I was like, oh, great. Well, I got to quit. And then my mom said, she was like, don't quit. Ask for the time off. And I was like, Mom, you're crazy. No one's going to give me time off for 6 months.
Yeah.
And then I went in and I said,
now that I've been hired, can I take a half a year off?
Yeah. And I just blurted it out. Yeah. And the guy came back and he, you know, my boss at the time, and he said, okay, we actually can't let you leave and come back. It's company policy. So we'll put you on a stipend if you can do X amount of hours a month, and we'll see when you get back.
Yeah.
And it hit me. I was like, there's so much power in the ask. Like, I had just, like, I had made my own, like, sealed my own fate by thinking for someone. And so being extremely transparent and just asking for things. It doesn't hurt that. That was my aha moment. I realized that there's a lot of growth and a lot of opportunity in this world if you mm-hmm. ask for it. That would be my biggest aha moment, I think. I
love it.
I can get whatever I want, but I can at least ask for it.
Very powerful stuff. So for the entrepreneur who's in their 9-to-5 job, mm-hmm. they've got bills to pay, maybe even a family and mouths to feed, but they are trying so hard to listen to shows like this, to collect the puzzle mm-hmm. pieces and put them together to figure out, you know, when's the right time to quit my job and go all in on my dream. For the people that are struggling, what's your advice to them?
My advice is, and this was, you know, for me as well, is the road you're on now, mm-hmm. you know where that's going to end. And there's as much risk there as there is in making the change now. Because if you're unhappy now, you'll just be unhappier later. And then you'll be unhappy with yourself.
Because then you'll have a regret.
Because you'll have a regret. Mm. And there's a heavy burden to really walk around with, especially when you're doing it day to day. It's something you don't necessarily enjoy, and there's this hanging thing on the side, right? So just, you know, you don't necessarily have to quit your day job right away, but you need to make steps towards your dream. See if it's, you know, feel it out, get an idea of the space, the industry, and then, you know, find the smartest way to make that jump as soon as possible, because you don't know where you're going to end up there, and that is the greatest feeling in the world.
That's true. For the people, though, that maybe are in it now, so those are the people that need to cut the cord.
Yeah.
For the people that are in it now, they're in there 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, maybe they've been in business for 15 or 20 years, and they haven't tapped into, and I'm bringing this up because you mentioned Simon Sinek, the power of their why.
Right.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. That was like one of his coined speeches.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of businesses, a lot of people, they aren't clear on their purpose.
Yep.
Which is the same thing of saying they don't have a strong why. They don't have a big enough purpose for why they need to hit a new goal, why they need to work on themselves to become a better version of themselves, to have upgraded knowledge and skill sets so they can add more value into the marketplace in proportion to earning more money, so they can use that money to have a bigger impact. That all stems from having a bigger purpose and reason why you're going to play a bigger game. How can people tap back into their why, or reignite their why, or find their why and their purpose, so they can go out and step into their full potential, earn the money, and have the impact they really want?
I mean, one way to do it, and this is kind of like a Steve Jobs thing, you know, he said, wake up every day, look in the mirror, and if I'm happy doing what I'm doing today, then, you know, that's great. And if I say, no, I'm not, too many days in a row, I know there needs to be change. And asking yourself those questions is really important, even if it's as simple as responding to an email to a coworker, or why am I doing this? If you can't justify it, if it's just because of a paycheck, then you know that there's something that needs to change, and you can start to sort of dial it down. And as you ask yourself throughout the day, why am I doing something else? And you're like, I know why I'm doing that.
Yeah.
And so you kind of start to figure out your purpose. But it all goes back to the ask. You could ask yourself, you have to ask your friends. You have to be okay with being transparent and vulnerable to, if you really want to figure it out. And I know that's difficult. It's difficult for everyone, but once you do it, it's the most freeing feeling in the world.
It definitely
you
is.
You just let go.
Definitely the most freeing feeling. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing with our audience.
Appreciate it.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
And now, a Business Rockstars Minute. How can you build a team with little or no money? I'm Pat O'Brien with a Business Rockstars Minute. When first getting your business off the ground, resources will be tight, but you'll still need to build a team and generate income. Here's a couple of ways you can build a team, even if you have little or no money at all. One, hire contractors or part-time employees. If you can't afford a full team member's salary, you can use contractors, part-time employees, or students instead. Two, offer stock options. If you can't offer them money yet, offer them equity in your company. Three, defer compensation. Deferring compensation can be tricky, as you have to be careful with the wording in your offer letter and ensure that you are not breaching any laws. A lack of resources should be no excuse for a lack of success. Be resourceful and use your head. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE, 844-91-BIBLE.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by Asus.
Going on a spring break vacation? If you're planning on sand, surf, and fun in the sun, don't chance it and take your smartphone into the water or to the beach. Instead, check out JVC's quad-proof Evrio cameras. So what is quad-proof exactly? We asked Francisco Lacey from JVC.
What we have with our consumer cameras that we've developed over the last few years is a quad-proof camera, which is very unique to the marketplace. It keeps the traditional form of a camcorder in your hand. The feel of it is much better, but the quad-proof nature of it makes it waterproof, dustproof, shockproof, and freeze-proof. The biggest one, which is heavy, it requires a float strap, but the rest of them are actually floatable. So you can jump into the swimming pool, jump into the ocean, waterproof up to 5 meters of depth,
which makes them perfect for taking in the water. More on JVC's HD Evrio cameras is at jvc.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Asus.
This is Business Rockstar.
How do you build your network to grow your net worth? Joining us to elaborate on that is Harmony Krieger. She's the founder of Pop Your Shop. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Harmony, how do we effectively network? What's the keys?
Network is my
favorite
topic in life, besides passion. You have to be passionate
to build
network. That is all encompassing. So it is my favorite topic because I think that business grows because of who you connect with. Mm. So I am the master at networking. I know exactly
so
what to do.
You,
I really do. It's my favorite topic. I tell everybody that I come across brand-wise, you have to network. You have to find out who that customer is. You have to connect, and you will get that customer, and then you will get 500 more because of that.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to an event, I'm going to find out who is running the event. I'm going to find out who is at the event and what they do. And I do it in a very organic way. It's not a sales pitch. The worst mistake you can make when you network is to sound like a salesman. Nobody wants to talk to a car salesman, right?
Yeah.
Unless you're going to buy a car.
People hate to be sold. They love to buy. So
there's
an elegance.
I love it. There's such an elegance. And there is one word that defines that elegance, which is organic.
Organic.
Be organic. Be yourself. I love talking to people. I love finding out what they're doing. Mm. It inspires me to do better. So when I go to an event, I find out, you know, who's going to be at that event. I walk in. I make my way across the room. It's kind of like finding a boyfriend, which right now I probably need one. you find out what they do. You start the conversation. You say, oh, wow. You find a commonality. Mm. What is that commonality? It can be completely different sectors, but you always relate it back to something that you have in common.
Because that's the first step for networking 101, right?
100%.
Build rapport. And the fastest way to do that is to find a commonality.
Build that rapport. What is that commonality? It's like a first date.
Yeah.
You're not having a good time, but what can you talk about? You know, it's like you find that one thing that is your sweet spot, as I like to say. So what is your sweet spot? So, you know, maybe it is somebody starting a brand new beauty line and, oh, I love watching makeup tutorials on YouTube. You know, what is this new line that's coming out? When is it coming out? And then guess what? they might need a pop-up shop for it. And this is how you network.
Okay.
It's funny, I carry cards, but at the end of the day, I think I store all the information in my head. Get somebody's card, get somebody's information, whether you put it in your phone.
Yeah, just take a picture of it nowadays, right?
Picture of it nowadays, exactly. Or even, you know, email yourself. What does that person do? Because I guarantee you, when you get home from an event like that, you will have 10 to 20 names that you can reach out to. And this is how it starts to grow. Every event I've ever went to, I have to say, I think I've gotten a piece of business out of. Because somebody is just, oh, wow, that's what
you do.
You're
hustling on it. That's what you're doing.
You're hustling. But you know what? It's so organic because guess what? You're passionate about your business. They ask me what I do. I say, I build pop-up shops. What's your brand? And they said, oh, wow, I was thinking about doing a pop-up. I don't know how to do it. Or I don't know if I have the budget. And I say, you know what, let's just go out for a drink or let's have a coffee. Let's connect and throw around some ideas. That's the other key. I always ask them to go and meet in person. I never just send them information. They see information all day long, decks, whatever it may be. Always ask them for an in-person meeting. If they say no, that's fine, but you have asked. So you've asked for the connection.
So the first key is finding a commonality is what I've heard from you. So building the connection and building the rapport first comes down to your ability to ask questions and align with the person to build a connection and to build a rapport
exactly.
So you can find that commonality. We're joined by the founder of Pop Your Shop, Harmony Krieger. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars, and we're talking about networking right now. I love that. The first step in the networking process is building rapport and finding a commonality because people buy from their friends.
Absolutely.
And so the first key is to figure out how you can actually become a friend with the person.
Yes.
I think that I try to make a distinction for people when it comes to networking.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've been taught that networking is go out and meet people that you can effectively get something from.
Right.
But I look at it in a different way. I think that you look at relationships as bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And if you went up to a bank account you've never made a deposit in and asked for a withdrawal, they would look at you crazy and security would come and kick you out.
I love that.
And so look at relationships as bank accounts. If you've never added value,
mm-hmm.
you've never made a deposit, then you can't take something from somebody.
Absolutely.
And so when you're networking, flip it.
Flip it.
Look at the people that are the most intelligent mm-hmm. investment of your time, your energy, your money. So I look at somebody at a networking event and I'm only looking for one or two or three people maximum.
Right.
I throw all the other business cards away. I'm finding the one or two or three people at an event. Everyone else, I'm asking if they've met the person that's the one or two or three that I'm looking for.
Right.
So everyone else is not there for anything else than to help me find my one or two or three people at the event I'm looking for.
I love that.
I find those one or two or three people and then I figure out what I can do to serve them.
Absolutely.
What can I do to make a connection for them? How can I add the most value to them and make a deposit so that later I know strategically this individual in 6 months or 12 months or 2 years or 3 years is someone I can take a deposit from.
Exactly. And
so
that is how you grow your network.
That's how you do it, right?
Every entrepreneur will say that. Your network is your net worth. I mean, think about it. If you're selling a home, same thing. You're tapping into resources that are actually already there. So every friend of mine asks, where do you go get your hair done? You know, where do you get your eyelashes done? Okay, now I just told you, like, I do all these beauty things. But regardless, they're asking for my advice because I feel that I'm really going to give them the best answer possible, and I'm referring them to someone that I trust. It's all about that trusting relationship.
Yeah.
So in business, when you are going to these networking events, I'm not going to talk to 75 people. It's not a speed dating event.
People make that mistake.
They'll just speed date. And you know what I've seen? Another huge mistake. Someone will just go around to every single person.
Just get their cards.
And get their cards and say the same exact thing. So what do you do? Oh, great. Take their card. Okay, great. I would love to call you tomorrow.
Yeah.
No one's going to call you tomorrow. You really do need to connect with the ones that make sense. But the only way to do that is to really weed them out.
Mm.
And you're not going to probably do that till you go home. Look up. LinkedIn is one of the best tools that there is in the sense of, are they valid?
It's like your vetting process,
right? Are
they
telling you what they're really doing? Because guess what? A lot of people will say they're doing something and not really be doing it.
That's true.
So you really need to find those people to align with. It's so important. Like you just said, you're going to find those three people.
Yeah, that's the perfect way to end it. Harmony, always a pleasure. You're amazing.
Thank you so much.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.